This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of spinners tonight.
It is black.
I know it. This quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces radio over in Iraq?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick, I'm sorry, Nick. Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
The Don and Mike Show.
Probably, Larry.
They craft their spontaneity. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, here from the emails at DonandMikeWebsite.com. Let me see. A. Moser writes that he has every one of this year's episodes TiVo'd. Quote, in the first episode, the president had died from the crash over the year in between, and Logan took over and had been reelected.
Bingo, there's our answer.
Good. John Meck and John MC writes, according to the Constitution. Yeah, let's hear it for the Constitution. Whenever there's a vacancy in the office of the vice president, the president shall announce a vice president who takes office upon confirmation by a majority of both houses of Congress.
So he names his own. I think
in 67, there was no vice president, was not replaced when it was vacant. Gerald Ford was your first replacement VP.
Oh, that's right. And Nixon named Gerald Ford. Right.
And Nelson Rockefeller was second.
Okay. All right. Now that makes sense. So if the vice president, like that was Spiro Agnew that got booted out.
Right.
And then Nixon had to replace him. So that's how that works. It's not a pecking order.
Never tell you how pissed Sam, my dad,
was?
The ass, got at me one time when, here's a shock. He was a big Nixon guy.
Huh.
And I had a Spiro, I like calling him Spiro, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
Around the time that I was in, I guess, seventh grade.
Right.
I'm thinking by school, Surrattsville Junior High, seventh grade. Mm-hmm. I had a Spiro Agnew watch that had the hands that went backwards.
I remember those.
Famous.
And, you know, it's like the crazy, the kooky.
It was the hippies that were doing that.
It was the slinky of its day.
True.
It was the Furby of its day.
And Spiro Agnew had a very bad relationship with those people in the media.
Yes, very
bad. And so that's why you had those little creations. And your dad didn't care for it too much.
No, Sam hated that. What is, you know, what is that on you? A punch pin!
That's un-American.
Screw you, old man. Now, speaking of old men, what are we going to do about the new program director? Here is the problem with this guy.
What is it?
During the last break, when we were playing the music by the guy with the parachute pants to teach Mike a lesson.
Yes. Right.
Program director.
A lesson which I learned, incidentally. Good. I just like to make it clear to everyone that I learned my lesson.
The program director. Shut up, you. He comes by the window while the music is playing, and he's just dancing, and he's holding up. They're doing some type of advertising for the show.
Oh, very nice.
Bus boards and billboards.
Uh-huh.
And he has, like, one of the posters. And he's actually dancing around with it. And it's our big, fat, ugly faces, and he's dancing around with it. So we go to break, and he comes in the studio. First violation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really. We're in here doing the show.
The clubhouse.
We don't need him coming in like he's one of the guys.
Not coming in the way he came in. I mean, he had, you know, to come in with something like, well, even that is frowned upon, but there are necessary trips occasionally from some of these people. This was more or less just coming in to be, dare I say, goofy.
Yeah.
And highly uncomfortable. And, you know, when he comes over to my side and I got to kind of look away.
You know why? Because... And Rob charted this. For how long of his visit in here did I not even make eye contact with
him? Is that why he was over here?
3 fifths.
Yeah. I was just looking down at my computer and stuff. It's like, I see him come in. And it's like, oh, God, what does this guy want? What is this? And he comes in.
Hey, did you see the new outdoor? It looks good. You guys ready? He said, look, it's just as good as we say we are.
Then he vibes on the fact that we're being, shall we say, chilly with him and says something along the lines of, can I get this autographed? And it was just, there's something there. You said it early on. There's something Listen, there's something sinister. This is like a good mystery novel. Uh-huh.
I don't want to start a bad relationship with this guy, and he maybe too late for that. He may be a fine program director. I don't know. But really, someone's got to tell this guy that here are the rules.
Yes.
Me and Mike have been here in this building for 15 years.
Right.
So like it or lump it, already we ain't going to listen to anything that you got to say, especially based on the fact that we didn't listen to the seven or eight dicks that had the position before you. Second, I'm out of here in September of 2008. So you think I'm going to spend the last two... I've been working my whole life and last...
I'm out of here in September of 2007.
Really?
Yes.
Are you really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I just had the meeting today.
No. No, of course not. I have alimony to pay. No, anyway. No. So listen, here's my point. I've been fighting guys like... Well, and I'm categorizing him like I love to do with program directors. Failed disc jockeys who just want to yell at other disc jockeys. I fought the whole time I played records not to have to deal with those guys. Fought with Mike for 20 years. You know, heading down the home stretch now. Mm-hmm. Somebody should tell this guy. Really, he could come to me. And this is just the way that I am. With the best idea in the world, the best feedback in the world, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen. I've been in radio full-time since I was 14 years old. I'm now 47. I'm not going to spend the last 2.5 years listening to some guy from out of town,
right?
You know, who doesn't have a vibe about what we're doing. So someone should just tell him that, and then we can get along fine.
Mm-hmm.
But because my feeling is the underlying tone is he's going to hang around. He's going to stick his head in the office. He's going to...
And then something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Then he's going to come in and he's going to want to do something. And that's what scares the crap out of me.
Because he's offering stuff...
He wants to mess with us. That's the underlying feeling we both get.
He's offering stuff like...
Anyway, when you were...
Separate compliments. One that he mentioned to me, he said...
When you were talking about how awkward it was going away with another woman to the Poconos, I could not turn off my radio.
I went, okay, great. Then he says to Mike today, you know...
Or the BlackBerry, yes, very, very funny stuff.
Now, first off...
No, that wasn't him. That was another guy that said that to me, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It was another tall guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well...
Just to be accurate.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. But he's come in before. What we both feel from this guy is because he's
not,
a program director and he's being nice and he's saying nice things, that terrifies us.
Sure.
That is more disconcerting than if he was cold and... it wouldn't be. Just the contact alone is what's scary.
Don't misunderstand us. I mean, because I know we must sound like Supreme Dick saying...
No,
like,
but
he's
got to understand this. By listening to us, he will understand this. The history we have with these guys, no good has come out
Here's
of any of these relationships. We have had better... Let me just finish this. We have had better relationships with certain general managers over the years. We have never, to the best of my knowledge, had a wonderful, trouble-free relationship with a program director in the entire time you and I have worked together where we have left a PD... And we would consider him to be a friend. Is that accurate or not accurate?
Yeah, well, first off...
It's the nature of the position.
As Frida had to tell me over and over, and goddamn she wasn't right, these people are not your friends, meaning the management people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think that they're your friends, you're so wrong because they'll sell you out in a heartbeat.
Which they have.
And, you know, what really... I don't think this guy was told this when he got the job.
Maybe not.
Here's the deal. I'm going to say this as politely and as respectfully as I can. Whatever you have to say is meaningless. Whatever input you have about this show is meaningless. You will have no say as to content, as to commercials, as to music, as to what time we show up to work and what time we leave. You have nothing to do with this show. Don't come in the office when the ratings are good. Don't come in the office when the ratings are bad. Generally speaking, stay away. Let's have a nice, social, wave-at-each-other relationship, because anything else, and you've got that program director gene in you that's going to want to come out, and you're going to want to sit down, and you're going to want to game plan with me, and you're going to want to say, but I think this worked in Pittsburgh, and I'm waiting for this one. You know what you really need? You need a strong female presence. You know, because it's the male, female. Now, again, I'm putting words in the guy's mouth. But, he may not think any of this.
Sure, you know, we don't know. We haven't chatted with him, and nor will we.
These are all just preemptive strikes.
Right.
Listen, here's the
because
two words.
Because there's a vibe there. There's something there. It's
the
a
two words about the Don and Mike show for this guy, for Greg Gillespie. Hands off. Hands off. We've been doing it longer than you have. We've been doing it better than you have. And we'll be here, even with the departure time of 2008, I guarantee we'll be here longer than you will. There will be some guy you'll screw up or something will happen. There will be some other guy that comes in before our run is done here. So let's not dance this dance. You know, work with the other stuff you got to work with.
Oh, God, please.
You know, I mean.
I wish. I hope he has a say in that. I truly
nice.
Do.
Someone should.
Hope somebody has
well,
a say.
Well, he doesn't,
it.
And that's the problem. See, yeah. He doesn't. Now, you can't tell me that the guy.
Well, he should. That's where the whole thing is abnormal anyway. Yes.
You can't tell me that this guy. And incidentally, I also think that taking this job, no matter what the circumstances were in his last gig, it's career suicide. Right now, who wants to be the program director of this radio station? Okay? You've got two decent shows. That's all you've got. And I'm talking about 7 days a week, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
5 days a week, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the weekends, right. Give up on the weekends, because all we run is like Tradio on the weekend.
You know, I was listening to the Baltimore station, and at least on the weekends, they're playing some music. And it was kind of refreshing to listen to that. Is that what they do exclusively? Is that what they do up in Baltimore all the time when they're not having their talk programming? And then we flipped on. Then I flipped on here on the weekends, which is really
and you always hear
a
like,
tradition
you know,
of letting your sales department program your radio station on the weekends completely and totally, which means you're not doing anything. You're not really counting on anybody listening.
Right. So on the weekend, when you get into the station that we're on and the Junkies are on and all these other suck artists are on Monday through Friday, you get on your car on Saturday and it's even worse because it's either an hour talking about Olympus Dickus and whatever the latest cream is to make your hair come back, you know.
Right.
I mean, this is the type of crap that they're programming on this station. I use that word very loosely.
Yes.
So, in essence, you've got a ton of problems. You've inherited a radio station that has many shows that are going to be out of your hands. For instance, what are you going to do? Call up Bill O'Reilly and tell him he stinks?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you can't even get him off this station.
Right. Right. That would be a good start.
What are you going to do? Make it so you don't have political talk at 10 o'clock in the morning? No, that's not your decision. You know, what are you going to do? Take the guy off at 7 o'clock at night? The guy with political talk again? No, you don't have the autonomy.
I like to call that CT.
What's that?
Crazy talk.
You don't,
7 o'clock, it's crazy talk time.
You don't have the autonomy to do that. But
the problems with WJFK are multifold.
But what you will think is that you do have the autonomy because we're here to come around and, like, tinker with us. No. No. No, 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 no.
That would be highly misguided.
No. No. So let's just get that straight, and I think we'll get along great. I really do.
He seems like a nice enough guy.
Fair enough.
For a program director.
Yeah, I bear him no ill will.
Right. I don't either.
And it's not that thing, you know, the Tom Cruise thing, don't make eye contact with me or anything. It's like, listen, dude, you want to rap sometime? Let's rap. Just understand this. Anything that you say about me, say to me about our show, worthless. It's like la, 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 la. As a matter of fact, and if you start it, I'll do just the opposite. Just to piss you off. Just to show you that you really have no control.
I, on the other hand, will maintain my open door policy about all character suggestions.
Oh, good.
As I have to everyone here.
Okay, now.
Why don't you do that guy? Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm pencil in hand.
I know.
Always.
So, let's see how he reacts to that. Let's give him a call.
All right. He's been running around. Hopefully he got a chance to listen to it.
Our luck, he didn't hear a word.
Front desk.
Hi there, front desk. This is Don and Mike. May we speak with Greg Gillespie, please?
Just a minute.
Was that Andrew?
Couldn't you hear the energy being sucked out of the telephone?
Just a minute.
Just a minute. Greg.
Hey, Greg, it's Don and Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Were you listening to the last segment?
Yes.
Good, good, good.
I was going to come down and see if I could join you just to not be rebuttal, but you've always wanted to introduce me to the listeners.
Well, no, I think, you know, it'd probably be better if you stay out of the studio.
But I want an autograph.
And when exactly, and I've never asked you this, I don't know you, you seem like a nice guy. When did you know in your career that it wasn't going to work out for you on this side of the dial? When did you know?
You mean this side of the microphone?
Yeah, when did you know that you were not going to be able to make it on this side of the room?
You mean being behind the microphone, like you?
As a DJ.
Yeah, like us.
It wasn't that it wasn't going to work out. I just was intrigued by getting into the management side of things. So I was on the air from 73 to 81.
Okay, so good. So you gave it like a good 8 years, and then you realized that that's really not what you were cut out for. And boy, you know what I bet you're great with?
What's that?
Are you great with that selector music system?
I can make it work, sure.
Yeah, you know what that is? That's the computer that tells all the DJs what records to play.
Yeah, but when I program stations that are music, I don't expect it to be exactly like that. I have an approach to make it more creative. And I mean, you know, hey, I love being on the air.
Am I right about this guy?
You can tell he's a DJ.
Can you tell right away? Mm-hmm. Can you tell right away?
He is a DJ.
Frustrated. Couldn't make it in 1981. realized 1981, that's 25 years ago.
So you've been a program director for 25 years.
Chasing a failed
dream. I mean, you've
been
programming for 25 years.
No, I programmed for about 5 years, and then I consulted radio stations as well as...
Oh my God.
Oh, and a consultant.
See, I think our fears are warranted here. I think this is true.
I was asked to train 6 playmates how to do radio. You got to admit, being a consultant in that regard is not a bad thing.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. I am afraid.
Why are you afraid?
Because you're saying things. It's program director. It's former disc jockey who is a program director, and then you mentioned consultant.
You know, this is
all people in the industry that have that have been very dangerous.
Very Smoky Rivers-ish.
Yes.
I co-authored a textbook. Does that help?
You what?
Co-authored a textbook.
What was the title of the textbook?
Process and Practice of Radio Programming.
Oh my God! And an academic,
of course.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well,
did you teach? Did you teach radio?
I've done, guest teaching or whatever you want to call it. I went to Ohio University.
A little in between gigs. I gotcha.
All right.
You know, in between.
I bet he knows Smokey. I have a vibe. Do you know Smokey Rivers?
I've met him, but I don't know him.
Yeah. Twin sons of different mothers.
You better believe it.
All right. Well, listen. You seem like a nice enough man. Welcome to the. You know. Hey, let me ask you. Why'd you take the job? The station stinks.
That's a good question.
The station really. Really stinks. This lineup we have, which is just a hodgepodge of guy talk and then right wing talk and then guy talk and right wing talk and then on the weekends we've got a car salesman on the air and we've got guys selling a genital cream and you've got commercials if you're going bald. What a mess this station is. What were the circumstances that led you to think this would be a good job?
I think that where this radio station is and the opportunities it has are great. And I think it's, you know, in my mind, it's a lot of fun to do something different. I mean, I think that there's a lot of radio stations that would look at what we do in terms of the fact that it's all content generated by, you know, people like you and the others on the radio station. Granted, the weekends, that's something that's very new and different to me. I mean, I think the NASCAR races are one thing.
Okay, so when you took the job, you know that the weekends on this station, you might as well give up. Nobody listens on the weekends because they whore it out. How could you, in all good conscience, as a program director, take a job where you know coming in it's already broken? It's broken, and you're not going to be able to fix it. You're not going to be able to play music or talk on the weekends because they're bringing in dollars with this dog and pony crap.
Well, there's ways to circumvent that and do stuff locally that, you know, that's one thing about the radio station you have to admit. You know, mornings, middle of the day, except for the 3 hours between Peter's show and your show, and then, you know, what comes after you, it's live and local. It's here. There's a lot more you can say than, you know, for other stations
hold on.
Format.
You're just giving me... the bad argument. I mean, here's the thing. I'll give you this. We're great. No doubt about that. The Junkies, very talented. Peter Rosenberg, listen, you can say he's local. You know what he is? He's a local hack. It's the guy's first job in radio. The guy used to host one of the weekend shows on this station that he paid for, or somebody paid for, about soccer. Okay? The guy's got a job at 10 o'clock in the morning on your radio station. Jesus Christ. Live and local for how many hours a week?
50.
50 hours a week. We're live and local. Other than that, you've got Bill O'Reilly and his pablum coming out of New York. You've got the guy at night with his pablum coming out. Nothing seems to go with the other part of it.
That's the main thing. That's the consistency that we have a problem with.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, maybe that's part of why I'm here, part of the challenge for me to do. Although I will tell you that on the weekend, granted, it's not something that we do right here, but the Money Pit Show does well and has a lot of listeners.
People will not let... Dude, come on, please, be real with us. I mean, if I guess you might have a problem on the radio being real, but...
No, not at all.
Okay, no one listens... Listen to that crap on the... I'm talking specifically about this station, WJFK. This station has been traditionally a Monday through Friday station. You can put whatever money talk show you want on the weekend. It has nothing to do with the program that you run Monday through Friday.
I guess I could be a smartass and say, you guys want to do a show on the weekend? But I wouldn't do that.
Well, I
mean, listen, here's the truth. For a while, we did say, sure, go ahead if you want to rerun our show. Except how would you like the 24 hours of us on all weekend? Because that's all they ran.
They ran the show. They didn't just take one of the days of the weekend and run a four-hour show. Mm-hmm. They ran the show. At one point, how many hours was our show on the weekend here? Seriously, and that's when
not only the weekend, it was during the day, too.
Well, yeah. It was on, it's 4 hours, well, then it was 5 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that we didn't have our best of show on the weekend.
And then there was 4 hours in the overnight, so that's 9 hours a day, and then I think 5 hours twice over the weekend.
So 10
plus
hours.
The overnight. On the weekend as well. If we were roughly like 45% of
but
the
listen,
broadcast.
So we were on the weekend here, and then we said, you know, enough of that.
It's kind of overexposure.
It was really overexposure.
But I bet now the next line you're going to give me is about how you're going to find some local homegrown talent and allow them to learn and grow on the air. And tell me, when will that first show be on, that weekend show?
That's hard to say, but you have to admit that giving people a chance to get into radio, I mean, you've been in radio for a long time. How did you get in? How did you get started? And then you saw what happened by the time, I don't know, the late 80s or early 90s got here. Nobody got a chance anymore.
You know, really, the way that I understand radio coming up and the way I think, even though we have different backgrounds, you come up through the ranks working at small stations, then gathering a resume and then getting experience under your belt, and then you get a shot on a major market
now,
radio
listen,
station.
Granted, the reason I was a boy
That's
wonder.
Not necessarily the way it's been done here, though.
Granted, the reason that I was a boy wonder. Working and listen, go ahead and laugh. You ever work in New York City?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I worked there when I was 18. You ever hear a station called 99X?
99X?
Yeah. You ever heard of a WXLO?
No, I was thinking of 99X in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to go back a little farther. You ever heard of a station called Kiss FM in Los Angeles?
Yes, sir.
You ever heard of WLS in Chicago?
Yes, sir.
WDRQ in Detroit?
Yes.
13Q in Pittsburgh?
I know. I told you the two people I know in Pittsburgh said to say hi to you.
Right. Listen, this is my point. I'm throwing these call letters at you to tell you that I have more knowledge of radio in my belly button than you have in your head because I've been out there living it and working it my whole friggin' life. You don't break in. Here's my point. You asked me how did I get into radio the same way you did, by knocking on a door. But the policy you have here, the difference is, I got to work at major market radio stations when I was a teenager because I was driven, I had passion, and I had talent. It takes ego to say that, but it's true. What you got here is the eighth largest market in America, 4 million people in this market, and you put some guy on the air middays who's never been on the air before. You know, this should not be the training ground. This should be where you get the guy who's come up out of Columbus, Ohio,
bingo,
or out of Indianapolis, who's ready for the next step.
That's really the way it's been done, and that's the way I remember it being done.
I mean, I don't know about you.
Somehow, somewhere along the line, yes, have there been success stories with people that have done it for the first time, but even the people that have done it for the first time paid their dues, spent some time, you know, doing a show on the weekend, and it's been too quick. The coming up through the ranks, that's the way I always understood it to be when you're going to get on a major market radio station, certainly on a station, you know, that has the track record that this station had.
But anyway, you know, Enough about my
I'm talking about, you know, as far as how you put talent on the radio station. I mean, that's a, you've been a program director, Don. I've been a program director. Yeah, that you listen to tapes from all over the country. For some reason, we have the Beltway as our limitation. That somehow the guy has to live in one of the suburbs around here and come in on the weekend for 2 weekends and then he gets a regular gig. It's very interesting to me.
So anyway, it's a shaky bet for you to take this gig.
Well, you know, I started on February 12th. All the lineup on the radio station as it is now was done before I got here.
Right.
I think it's exciting that, you know, granted, you may have somebody who's got little experience and has got a prime time slot, but that's something if you go back over the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years when, some companies came up with the concept of, voice tracking, you had the, you know, place in Seattle where they just...
This guy's already doing his program director doublespeak.
For radio stations.
And what the frick does this have to do with us yelling at him about how his job stinks?
The radio station after 10... the next day. I think that, you know, sure, there may be times on the weekends where people need an opportunity or a shot. You know, it might be overnight, late on Sunday night, but I think... At least it's getting back to the point of, hey, we've come to realize that there are, you know, a ton of great people out there who've been given a shot, so you got to start somewhere, like we did.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, you seem like a nice enough guy. Thanks for going through this introductory session.
Thank you.
How did you find your first experience on the show? I mean, your debut, your only, your first.
Last. Today? Everything. Last.
I thought it was fine. I would have come in and sat down with you. I know. Down there.
Yeah, we know you would.
Of course you would. Let's reflect back on 1981, back when the dream was crushed.
Hey, I still had great ratings when I worked at the station in Denver, which was my last that I worked at. So.
Yeah, okay. And how long ago was that? Did you have great ratings? How many years ago was that?
That I got when I was on the air?
Yeah.
That was 1981.
Relevant.
But.
Relevant. That's like a guy saying, yeah, you know what? I got one at bat with the Yankees when they brought up the replacement players, and I got a bases on balls. You know, you're talking, I've hit 800 goddamn home runs in this business, pal. And I got news for you. Mike's hit at least 400. Even Buzz gets on base all the time.
I wouldn't take credit for the home runs that the stations that I worked with over the years had. It's all part of being on the team. So
please. This place, Jesus Christ, if nobody told you that the first rule here is that nobody here plays like they're on a team. Jesus Christ, nobody's told you that?
When did we stop squawking about that? Because we used to talk like that
when we were
naive. Yeah. I think it was back with Opie and Anthony. That's when it happened.
Right.
We tried to do the whole team thing. Doesn't work at this in this environment.
Good luck. Good luck.
There were days that we were part of a team, but around here something went astray.
Well, anyway, his name is Greg Gillespie. He's going to be featured in our next segment, which is called Way Out There, and he's the program director, and
he will be anointed, if you will. I mean, most management members get anointed with that feature.
It's true.
So during Way Out There, I think you'll enjoy it, Greg.
He'll have his jury broken.
And when is that?
You'll get to listen. It's fun.
In the next break.
Oh, okay.
It's coming right up.
Cool.
So it was good talking to you.
Well, and thank you. It's you as well.
I look forward to seeing you at the Christmas party.
Oh, we'll see each other before that.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
No, listen. Now, Greg, listen. I'm serious as cancer here. Really. I'm not being a dick with you. I'm not being like Tony Soprano with you. Really. You're not our program director. We don't have a program director. We don't answer to you. We don't answer to Hughes. I mean, you may think that on some level we do, and I guess when it comes down to it, yes, we do. But really, I'm telling you right now, man to man, no way. I mean, no way.
Hey, I walk in here, and what did I say in the press release that came out? That I was going to work with radio legends Don Pike.
You know what was wrong?
Right?
No. You're going to watch us work.
I don't care. I'll come in and watch you work.
No. You're gonna,
You're
going to listen to us work.
Okay. I listen to you work every day.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Greg.
Then we will get along swimmingly.
And, of course, you had mentioned the occasional wave in the hallway.
Yeah.
Fine. And the last piece of advice I would have for you is...
And an occasional pleasantry.
That's fine. And remember,
nothing wrong with that at all.
Brent, don't buy.
Okay, I can't wait to hear the Way Out There segment.
It'll be fine.
It's coming right up.
You'll love it.
Thank you.
Maybe you can come by and give us a thumbs up later. And hold up one of the bus board signs.
That won't be necessary.
Hey. I still came in to get it autographed. Obviously, I'm a fan. I didn't do it just for grins.
Jesus Christ.
No. You don't you don't want an autograph, do you?
He does not get it.
Please.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Greg.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, dear. Oh.
So now.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Now we kind of understand what's going on. And, Buzz, what did you pull up on the web there?
Well, I found the cover of his book. I read his book, you magnificent bastard. Process and Practice of Radio Programming by Joanna R. Lynch and Greg Gillespie.
Just like his hair, it's red.
Oh, he don't even get his name first, does
red,
he?
Reddish.
Yuck.
It's 47 books, Amazon.com.
What's the copyright
bucks
on it?
I don't know. I'll check the date.
All right.
Looks like the Bible. That's the packaging on the
Looks
book.
It's like a textbook.
Don, it is a Bible. A Bible of quality radio.
That increases my stress level. Increases my stress level.
My ratings at my last station in Denver were rather...
And exactly what happened in 1981? When did the dream become something in the rearview mirror?
When did the star fall?
The dream of entertaining those on the radio. Is that when you discovered that you might be better on the other side? Hi, this is Greg Gillespie. Have you heard so-and-so on the radio? You know, if you advertise on this show, it's only $25. And then you went from that to being like the music director, then the program director. Oh, the mighty program director. And all of the fake power that name entitles you to.
We've had so many wonderful moments with program directors over the years.
You've had them all.
You think you got it. You think right now, even though we're busting your balls, there's got to be a part of you that's thinking, I'm still the boss. You know what? If you're really the boss, why don't you just take like 6 hours out of this weekend and do like 6 hours of Molly Hatchet?
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Now, I'm not a huge Molly Hatchet fan. I mean, I like you flirting with disaster.
Hey, you mentioned 38 Special before.
Yes.
All I'm saying is
Southern Rock.
You don't have the authority.
Denny Crane.
You don't have the authority to take 1 hour to put anything on this radio station.
Denny Crane.
You really don't. But good move coming here. And we're glad that you're a part of the team.
I can tell.
Denny Crane.
I know. And all we really hope is that you just leave us the frig alone.
Denny Crane.
Because I've battled too many monsters like you. And I just don't have it in me. I don't have it in me this time. Oh. So just stay away.
Denny Crane. And you know what?
That is Shaka Consultant.
Because of, that did it for me, too.
Yeah.
That got the bile up in my esophagus. You know, as soon as I heard that, it's just all those horrible experiences with consultants and PDs and telling people what to do. Oh, my God. Stop. But yet when it comes down to, like, really the real deal here, which is, you know, putting people in the spots they're supposed to be on, which is the probably most important job of a program director. You know, it's just, I'm happy with what we do.
And just, I don't want to hurt
I'd love to see the guy come in and change things. I would love that.
I don't want to hurt Peter Rosenberg's feelings. Really, I don't have any ill feelings towards him either. The truth is, though, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's a goddamn major market radio station. Really, you don't get a guy off the subway and say you're going to play third base for the Yankees.
No, there is nothing wrong with saying what you're saying. I don't disagree with. And you know what? The fact is, you needed to start somewhere. Of course. You started somewhere. I started somewhere.
I did. It was in Beloit, Wisconsin.
Mine was
Rockville.
Middletown, WESU, Middletown, Connecticut when I was 15 years old.
Rockville, Maryland. Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, that's when you start.
Don't hold it against me because I climbed to the top of the highest mountain that you dreamed of. Admit it, Gillespie. You wanted to be a disc jockey. You wanted to. And in 1981, it fell apart for you. You know where I was in 81? Making $45,000 a year, doing 7 to 10 p.m. on Kiss FM, Los Angeles. Getting my ass fired. For forgetting to play all the commercials.
How you establish a cult.
But still, I was there. I was there. It happened. The dream didn't stop. Like your shattered dreams. All of those DJ dreams going down in flames. Now you sit up in your office with your Jeremy Coleman leftover furniture and get that stuff cleaned.
Yes,
really.
Please do.
Seriously. Get that stuff cleaned. What is this? Hello?
Don Mike.
Yeah.
Got a question for you.
Yeah.
You're not going to turn into Howard and do the countdown to 2008, then we're out of here, right?
Listen, douche, this is not a... When I said that, it wasn't like a threat that I'm mad. I've stated many times, that's when I'm going to retire.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my point being is I don't want that because I got so sick and tired.
I don't care what you want. I don't care what you want. I was making...
That is obvious.
I was making a point with the program director.
I just don't want
to... Bye! I'm making a point with you.
There he goes.
Get the frig out of here. Stupid idiot. Hello.
Hi.
Don and Mike.
See what good moods we get into when we talk to a program director.
Hello.
I worked at a station where, if it's the same, Greg Gillespie was a consultant. And it was a classic rock station. And I was on air, and he would come in, probably once every 3 or 4 months, air check us all, and then program the music for a classic rock station.
Now, let me explain. Air check is when a disc jockey sits down with a program director.
Goes over the tapes of what they're saying on the
air. And you play the tape of your show without the records.
Right.
And it's just like every... You stop it, and he cuts you apart for everything you've said.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And most of them that we've worked with just relish it, love it more than life itself.
Oh, it's the power trip. Well, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Reno, and it was a station here in Reno that he was at.
And did you ever have any personal contact with him?
Yeah, I did a couple of times. The thing I remember about him was that he had a huge... This is in the 80s. He had a lot of...
A huge what? Whoa!
He had a what?
He had a huge head
a huge
of red
what?
Hair.
Oh, yeah, you got the right guy. I mean, he doesn't have that same head of hair, but I think he's a redhead.
Yeah, it was like the 80s. I blow-dried it, and it's got a lot of hairspray in it.
I guess back in the day, he would look like that John 3:16 guy.
Yeah.
Seriously.
The guy at the Rams games?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy at every football
game. I mean, don't
you
think he probably looked like if he had a big mop of red hair?
Yeah.
Tell me something.
Probably very similar to that.
Way back then, did you know that he didn't know anything?
Well, how hard is it to program a classic rock station?
You know what? I don't know how you feel about when you were a program director. I hated the job. I hated being I was a group program director for two different radio stations. I could not stand it. And I didn't like firing disc jockeys.
Bye!
I didn't like that, so I got out of it. I hated it.
I loved it. That's what I loved best.
Yeah.
Firing. I'm kidding. I didn't fire anybody.
You didn't like it too much either.
No, I didn't. It sucked.
I mean, this is fun. If you're doing that, you can't come in and do that. Well, there are guys that do both, and that's the worst kind of thing in the world.
Hello.
Yeah, right.
How are you doing, Mike O'Mara?
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
Hello.
Well, look.
I understand you had my friend Greg Gillespie on your show today.
One thing for you, Mr. Shannon.
What's that, Mr. Drysdale?
Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Are you going to do that faggot sketch when you come back?
Absolutely, Mr. Shannon. I think it's going to be wonderful, and it's going to be money. I think you'll enjoy it. I certainly hope you tune in.
All right, pep talk over.
Uh-huh.
Pep talk over.
Somebody's feeling pretty good right now.
I think so.
Yeah.
Upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing right now. Verizon, may we help you? U-Haul?
Did you say U-Haul?
Michael, Gigi, spoke to both of them. What a couple of asses. You are absolutely right. You could not be more correct.
And why is it when you let's just drop that step. I mean, not with the program director, with everybody. When you call 411 now, and they go, Verizon, what's the number? And you say, okay, Mike O'Mara Travel. And they say... Can you repeat that? Mike O'Mara Travel. What town? New York, New York.
I'm sorry. I didn't get that.
New York, New York. Hold, please.
And then you get a human being, and you have to say the same thing all over again.
Although she's got it on a screen, she can see what you've been saying to the computer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that stinks.
I know.
You're right.
Let's fix that.
Hughes. Gillespie. Yeah. You couldn't be more correct. They really are. Well, I wish them death. Thanks for the support. Yeah, no problem.
I wish I could quit you.
There they are. We got a break. Way out there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.